Ever try finding a specific book in a library?
Yeah.
With like zero organization.
Oh, yeah.
Books everywhere, just chaos.
Yeah.
Impossible, right?
Right.
Well, in the world of computers, data structures, that's the key. That's how they keep everything organized and accessible.
Yeah, it's all about having the right tool for the right job. Just like, you know, like a well-organized toolbox.
Yeah.
Need to store a simple number of names. Hmm. There's a data structure for that. Analyzing like complex relationships in a social network.
Wow.
Data structures are behind that too.
So we're diving into all of this today. We're using some excerpts that you sent us from the Wikipedia article on data structures. Consider this like your cheat sheet for how computers handle information, why that even matters to you, and some of the really kind of clever ways that, you know, we figured out to make it all work.
And what's fascinating is that these concepts underpin so much of our digital lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the efficiency of Google searches to the way online shopping platforms seem to know exactly what you're looking for.
Okay. You've definitely piqued my curiosity.
Okay.
So let's bring it down. The Wikipedia article starts off with a fairly technical definition,
mm-hmm.
but essentially a data structure is about organizing data.
Right.
In a way that makes it easy for a computer to access and use it efficiently.
Exactly. Think of it like this. The way that we organize data can drastically affect how quickly a computer can perform a task. Just like having the right organizational system in your kitchen can save you time and effort when you're cooking.
So no more rummaging through a digital junk drawer, right?
Right, exactly.
But tell me, what are some of the ways that we can organize data?
Well, let's start with the simple one, the array.
Okay.
Imagine a neatly organized bookshelf where each slot holds a book.
Okay.
That's an array, a linear structure that stores elements in a specific order.
So if I want to find the third book, I know exactly where to look because I know the order they're in.
Precisely. And this makes accessing any element within the array incredibly fast.
Okay.
Because the computer knows exactly where each element is located based on its position or index in the array.
That makes sense. What about the linked list? That sounds a bit more well-linked.
Good observation. Unlike an array which stores elements contiguously in memory,
right.
A linked list is made up of individual nodes
okay.
that are linked together using pointers.
Okay.
Imagine it like a chain of paper clips.
Okay, so each paper clip represents a data element, and then the link between them shows the order.
You got it. Each paper clip or node contains not only the data itself,
Damn.
But also a pointer that tells the computer where to find the next node in the sequence.
Okay. I'm starting to see how this is more flexible than an array.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily add or remove a paperclip or a node
yes.
anywhere in the chain without having to rearrange everything else.
Exactly. This dynamic nature makes linked lists ideal for situations where you might need to frequently insert or delete elements.
Okay.
Like in the implementation of a music playlist where you can easily add or remove songs.
This is fascinating. It's amazing how like a simple change in the way that data is structured can drastically impact its efficiency for different tasks.
Absolutely. And that brings us to another essential data structure, the hash table.
Okay.
Now imagine a super efficient coat check system.
Okay. I'm picturing this. Keep going.
Okay. So you hand your coat to the attendant, and instead of storing it in like a predictable order, they use a special function. It's called a hash function.
Okay.
To assign your coat a unique number based on some characteristic of the coat itself.
Okay.
That number becomes your key to retrieving your coat later.
So instead of searching through every single coat, you have this direct link, the number, or the key.
Right.
To what you're looking for. That sounds incredibly efficient.
Exactly. And that's the power of a hash table.
Wow.
But here's where it gets really interesting. You said interesting, but I have a feeling this coat check system might be about to turn into a chaotic mess.
Well, yeah. What happens if two people's coats end up with the same hash number or key?
That's what I was thinking. It'd be like two people trying to share the same coat check ticket.
Exactly. This is called a collision.
Oh.
And it's one of the key challenges that hash tables need to address.
Right.
But don't worry. There are ways to resolve these collisions without sacrificing the speed that makes hash tables so powerful.
Okay.
One common approach is to use something called separate chaining.
Separate chaining. Okay, how does that work?
Imagine that instead of each coat check number corresponding to a single hook,
right.
It actually leads to a chain of hooks.
So even if two coats have the same key,
mm-hmm.
they can both be stored on that same chain.
So it's like having a backup system in place for when those hash collisions inevitably happen.
Precisely. It's a bit like having multiple folders in a filing cabinet with the same label.
Right.
You just need a way to efficiently search within that specific folder or chain.
Okay.
And there are some incredibly ingenious methods for doing just that.
Wow.
Ensuring that even in the event of collisions, hash tables maintain their speed advantage.
That's pretty amazing. So it's a whole other level of organization within the organization.
Right.
So we've covered arrays, linked lists, and hash tables, but the Wikipedia article mentions a few other types of data structures too, right?
It does. We've just scratched the surface of this world, really.
Wow.
For example, there are graphs, which are used to represent relationships between different pieces of data.
Oh.
Think of social networks or how GPS apps map out routes. Those rely heavily on graphs.
So instead of just storing data in like a linear or associative way, graphs are about mapping out those connections and how they relate to each other.
Exactly. Each piece of data becomes a node.
Okay.
And the connections between them are represented as edges.
Okay.
This allows us to model and analyze complex relationships mm-hmm. in a way that wouldn't be possible with other data structures.
That's really cool. And what about trees? The term itself makes me think of some sort of hierarchy.
You're on the right track. Trees are hierarchical data structures
mm-hmm.
that branch out from a single root node.
Okay.
Imagine a family tree.
Right.
Or even the way files are organized in folders and subfolders on your computer.
So each branch can lead to more branches and so on.
Exactly. And this hierarchical structure allows for very efficient searching and sorting of data.
Okay.
Think of how a binary search tree can quickly locate a specific value within a large set of sorted data.
It's amazing to think that these fundamental structures underpin so much of what we take for granted in the digital world.
Absolutely. And it's not just about these individual structures in isolation.
Okay.
Often they're combined or nested within each other.
Right.
To create even more powerful and complex systems.
Now my brain is starting to feel like a Stack Overflow error.
Speaking of stacks,
yeah.
Let's not forget about them and their counterpart, queues.
Okay, remind me, what are stacks and queues again?
Well, imagine a stack of plates.
Okay.
You can only add or remove plates from the top, right?
Right, yeah.
That's the basic principle of a stack.
Mm.
It follows a last in, first out, or LIFO structure.
So the last piece of data you add to the stack is the first one you can access.
Exactly. Queues, on the other hand, are like a line at a ticket counter.
Okay.
They follow a first in, first out, or FIFO structure,
mm-hmm.
where the first element added to the queue is the first one to be removed.
So stacks are like a pile of dishes, and queues are like a line at the grocery store. I think I'm getting the hang of this.
You're a natural. These structures might seem simple,
right?
But their applications are incredibly widespread,
mm-hmm.
especially in algorithm design and computer programming.
It's incredible how all these like seemingly abstract concepts we've been talking about actually underpin so much of our digital lives.
Yeah, it really is. And what's even more fascinating is how these concepts can be applied across different programming languages.
That's right. We briefly touched on language support earlier.
Mm.
Is this where things start to get really complicated?
Not at all. It simply means that different programming languages have different ways of implementing these data structures.
Okay.
Some languages have built-in support for certain structures, like arrays,
right.
while others might require you to write more code to achieve the same functionality.
So it's like some languages come with pre-assembled bookshelves, while others give you the tools in wood to build your own.
A great analogy. But the key takeaway here is that regardless of the language, the underlying concepts of how these structures work remain the same.
That's reassuring. So whether you're using Python, Java, C, or any other language, you're still dealing with the same fundamental building blocks of data organization.
Absolutely. It's like speaking different languages.
Right.
The words and grammar might change,
right.
but the fundamental ideas you're trying to convey remain constant.
It's like data structures are a universal language for organizing information no matter what dialect you're using.
Exactly. And speaking of fascinating data structures, there's one more from the Wikipedia article that I think deserves a closer look, the try.
Okay, try. That's a new one. What makes this data structure so special?
Imagine a tree.
Yeah.
But instead of storing entire words in each node,
right.
it stores individual characters. Each path from the root to a node represents a prefix of a word.
So if I type in K, it might traverse a path with C and an A.
Precisely. And as you continue typing, say T.
Right.
It narrows down the possibilities even further, following the path to T. This makes tries incredibly efficient for tasks involving prefix searching and auto-completion.
So that's how websites can predict what I'm searching for before I even finish typing.
Exactly. Tries are incredibly useful for search engines, text editors, and even predictive text on your phone.
Wow.
They're all about making information retrieval faster and more efficient.
Wow. It's amazing to think about how these data structures are working behind the scenes in so many aspects of our digital lives.
It really is. And the more you understand about them, the more you start to appreciate the elegance and ingenuity behind the technologies we use every day.
So to wrap things up, it seems like data structures are the unsung heroes of our digital age.
Absolutely. They're the foundation upon which so much of modern technology is built, from the efficiency of our Google searches to the personalization of our online experiences.
Right.
Data structures are silently working behind the scenes, making it all possible.
And with that, we've reached the end of our deep dive into the world of data structures. Hopefully, you're leaving with a newfound appreciation for the power of organized information and the clever ways we structure data to make our digital lives possible.
Indeed. It's a fascinating field. And this deep dive has only scratched the surface.
Right.
There's a whole universe of data structures out there, each with its own unique properties and applications.
Well said. And who knows, maybe this deep dive will inspire you to explore this world even further. Until next time.